The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now live, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
And all across the country, it is Red Eye Radio. Rick Robertson with you. Always a pleasure to be here. And if you took the time to call in and the patience to wait, if you're on hold, I promise I'll get to your call. I got to give you this. The mainstream media is not going to give you this. You think you're going to get this from CNN or MSNBC or Headline News, or even, for that matter, ABC, CBS, or NBC? Oh, the great things Trump did today. Next at 5. No, it doesn't happen that way. Let's just skim over some. Over 4.2% growth in the second quarter of 2018. I remember when Larry Kudlow's partner, Stephen Moore, and I used to talk about, man, if we could get over 3%, we'd be doing great. For the first time in more than a decade, growth is projected to exceed 3% over the calendar year. It's already done that. Jobs, 4 million new jobs, it's over that now. 4 million new jobs have been created since the election, more than 3.5 million since Trump took office. We, believe it or not, we are at a place right now where we have more job openings in this country than we do people to fill them. More Americans are employed right now than ever before in the nation's history. Jobless claims, unemployment numbers at the lowest level in nearly 50 years. The economy has achieved the longest positive job growth streak since we started keeping record in our history. Job openings are at an all-time high. Like I said, they outnumber job seekers for the first time in the nation's history. Unemployment claims at a 50-year low. African American, Hispanic, Asian, wasn't this the racist president? It was, wasn't he? Yeah. Well, I don't know who he's racist against then. African American, Hispanic, Asian American unemployment rates have all recently reached record lows. African American unemployment hit a record low of 5.9% in May of this year. May of this year, Hispanic unemployment at 4.5%. Asian American unemployment at a record low of 2%. Women's unemployment, wait a minute, isn't he the misogynist? Women's unemployment recently at the lowest rate in 65 years. Female unemployment dropped to 3.6 in that same month, the lowest since 1953. Youth unemployment reached the lowest level in more than a half century. July's 2018 youth unemployment of 9.2%, the lowest since 1966. Veterans unemployment hit the lowest level in nearly 20 years. I mean, you want me to go on? Rate for disabled Americans recently hit a record low. Blue-collar jobs recently grew at the fastest rate in more than 30 years. A poll, by the way, found that 85% of blue-collar workers believe their lives are now headed in the right direction. 68% reported receiving a pay increase. How about American income? Wages up in August by their fastest rate since 2009. Paychecks rose by about 3.3% between 2016 and 17. That's the most in 10 years. The Council on Economic Advisers found that real wage compensation has grown by 1.4% over the past year. That's incredible. 3.9 million people are off food stamps since the election. Median income for Hispanic Americans rose by almost 4%, surpassed $50,000 for the first time ever in the history of America. Poverty rates for African Americans and Hispanics have reached their lowest levels ever recorded in the United States. This sounds like news to me, doesn't it, to you? Doesn't this sound like something CNN would, oh, you won't believe the lowest unemployment record in U.S. history. That sounds like a headline to me. Have you heard about it? Nope. What about optimism in America? Small business optimism has hit unbelievable highs. Small business optimism index broke a 35-year-old record. Consumer confidence, 18-year high. 12% of Americans rate the economy as the most significant problem facing our country, and now it's the lowest level on record. Deregulation, one of the big issues for business owners, approved massive deregulation at a rapid pace, completing 22 actions to every one regulatory action during the first year in office. Basically what he said, you got to get rid of 22 regulations for every new one you want to put back. Signed legislation to roll back that costly and harmful provision of Dodd-Frank, providing relief to credit unions, community and regional banks. Federal agencies achieved more than $8 billion in lifetime net cost savings. Tax cuts, do I need to tell you about that? Provided more than $5.5 trillion in gross tax cuts, nearly 60% of which goes to families. So every time Pelosi says, well, yeah, he's just trying to help out his rich friends, everybody else got crumbs. Crumbs? They averaged over $1,400. That's not crumbs. And it was an across-the-board cut. No one person, oh, I got all this, and you didn't get anything. Enabled the vast majority of American families to file their taxes on a single page by claiming the standard deduction, doubled the child tax credit to help the financial burden on raising a family, lowered America's corporate tax rate from the highest in the developed world to allow American businesses to compete and win from the United States, not offshore someplace. Small businesses can now deduct 20% of their business income. I mean, 9 in 10 American workers saw an increase in their paychecks thanks to the tax cuts. Because the businesses were saving money, they passed it along. I mean, do you want me to go? I mean, I've got tons and tons of this. You haven't heard about any of this from the lamestream media, have you? He signed an executive order to help minimize the financial burden that most American households were feeling, signed legislation to improve the National Suicide Hotline, signed the most comprehensive childhood cancer legislation ever done in this country into law that advances childhood cancer research. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. More U.S. Circuit Court judges confirmed in the first year than has ever been done in America, ever. It would take me, literally, I tried to do this on my afternoon show in phases. Everything this president has been able to do, whether through successful legislative processes or through executive order, I couldn't do it in 3 hours. And this is all stuff you don't know anything about because the lamestream media working hand in glove with the socialist Democrats don't want you to know this. They don't want you to know what's being done on your behalf. You know, it's like I say all the time, you know, with kids graduating high school and Democrats trying to lower the voting age everywhere they can, you can't miss something you didn't know you had. You can't miss the Constitution if you don't know anything about it. You can't miss the Bill of Rights if you don't know what they are. You see where I'm going with this? I mean, it's not tough to figure out. Border security and immigration secured $1.6 billion for the border wall construction in March of 2018. That was an omnibus bill. Construction of a section of border wall began near San Diego. Work to protect American communities from the threat posed by MS-13. And I could go on and on and on, but you need to put a big red stop sign up there and then put Pelosi's face and Schumer's face. And by the way, Obama, you knew he wasn't going to go away quietly into the night. He's not. He's back in the big middle of things all over again. All right. You've been extremely patient. I had to hit some of this, and I'll give you some more throughout the show. Your calls coming up, 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Rick Roberts in for the guys on Red Eye Radio.
How are you treating your truck this winter? Stay prepared by treating your fuel with the proper additives. The most commonly used additives help decrease fuel gelling during colder months, but certain additives can benefit your truck in a number of ways. Cetane boosters can help boost your fuel's cetane rating, which improves the ignition quality of the fuel. This means your fuel will burn faster and result in a smoother and quieter running engine, as well as quicker engine starts. If you're dealing with damage to fuel pumps and injectors, use a detergent additive, which can help dissolve harmful deposits that form on these critical parts of the truck. Whether you're trying to combat fuel gelling or boost your cetane rating, an additive may be just what you need. Stop into a TA truck service near you to shop our selection of cold weather additives today.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Hi, Rick Roberts with you, in for Gary McNamara and Eric Farley. Glad you're along. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339 with you live this evening. Let's go to Mark in Cincinnati. Mark, I appreciate your patience. How you doing, Mark?
All right. Weather's clear up here and roads are dry.
Good for you, because it's supposed to change.
Yeah. I've had a suggestion that maybe all these accomplishments that Trump's done that people don't know about, maybe we could put them on the website and then people could print them off that support him. And maybe when they're in town or something, taking their gifts back that they didn't want or returns or whatever, and they could hand these things out to people that don't have a clue.
Well,
I've
got the list of accomplishments. I've got it on my website for my day job. I work for I do afternoon drive for News Talk 820 WBAP out of Dallas. So you can go there. You can listen there if you want to, WBAP.com. The list is there. It's pretty lengthy. It's a little over 300 now, individual accomplishments, but people can print that out if they like.
Right. Well, I didn't know that. I could look it up myself now. But are we allowed to, is it allowed to use a college name when we're talking to you, a proper name for a college somewhere, if I have something else to speak on?
Sure, that's fine.
Yeah, I got the imprimis letter from Hillsdale College and stuff, and I understand that they got all these liberal colleges and stuff where they're teaching everybody about the socialism stance and all that, and you say that nobody is getting understanding the Constitution, the Bill of Rights anymore, and Hillsdale College has only got the one school. I'm sure that there's enough support for them to expand and go to these other states and put their college, or at least a building of some sort and a campus in all the states, so that they could recruit more people to their school than they are getting, because, well, obviously there's not enough conservative colleges out there children to go to.
I wouldn't argue that point, but let me ask you a question. I don't know how old a man you are, but when did you learn about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, the Jefferson letter? When did you learn about that?
I learned about it when I was in elementary school, and Saturday morning when the cartoon used to say, "I'm just a bill," on Capitol Hill, and that cartoon used to be out there. And we used to say the Pledge of Allegiance in school and learned that stuff in school.
That was the point I was trying to make. Most kids, I learned about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and so on, in junior high, And then, of course, it was reinforced in high school. A lot of people don't go to college, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some people, it doesn't work for them, and that's fine. But we ought to at least be teaching the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and everything else in junior high or high school, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
I mean,
but I would think most of the people that don't go to college, they are workers, and they're not inclined to be liberal and social-minded people where they're thinking that, well, just give me a handout, I'll just sit home and do nothing.
Well, that's a good point. I'm going to have to agree that with that. But by the same token, people that don't go to college, maybe they go to a trade school or a vo-tech or whatever it is, or just take a job right out of high school or become an entrepreneur. Those people need to have a working understanding of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration, because it's theirs. I mean, no matter what you do for a secondary education, I know my daughter just started, she graduated from college a few years back. She's working on her master's now, but she's doing it part-time because she works full-time. And she works full-time for the university, as a matter of fact. If you come here from out of the country, she's the one you have to talk to see what, what's going to apply from wherever you were. And it's going to take time. But here's the thing. That Constitution belongs to every American listening to me right now. Every single American. That Bill of Rights is yours. That the Declaration of Independence, it's yours. We shouldn't have to hope and pray, I sure hope they teach me about that Constitution. I mean, if you're a parent and you got some time, I know. You got to work a job or two and, your time is very, very sparse. But, a lot of parents do it. I know my grandparents did it. I'll tell you something. My grandmother that raised me, she was one of the first women to go to college back in the 20s. Now, it wouldn't have, most women didn't go to college in the 20s. My grandfather, which also raised me, I think he made it to the fourth grade. That was it. He opened up his own business, became extremely successful, but they were really a pair to draw to. She was college educated in the 20s. I think he may not have even finished the fourth grade. So I ended up with an understanding, a balance, if you will, of what education can do for you from the book sense, and also what my grandfather taught me about common sense. And I'll be forever grateful. But we shouldn't have to hope, oh, man, I really hope they teach my son about the Constitution. That's theirs. There should be no question that the schools are teaching our kids what the Constitution of the United States of America is. None. I mean, does that make sense? I get the outcome-based education, and I've told you that whole story, and the Common Core education, all of these goofy scenarios that come out of the government that filter their way down into the public education system, and I'm not indicting teachers, so if you're a teacher, don't get hot at me. It's not you. You don't set the curriculum. And quite honestly, the administrators at your individual school, they don't have total say-so either. Anytime the government is involved, it's going to get messed up. It's going to get ugly. And that's exactly what's happened to the educational system in America. They don't want credit. They, the government, and I'm talking all levels of government, city, county, state, federal, they don't want critical thinkers. They don't want people. They don't want people to be able to push back and critically think and say, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. All right, going to get to your calls in just a second. Each and every one of you, you've been very patient. I promise you get your you get your time on the air. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
Happy holidays. Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts.
And thank you so much. With you live this evening, 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. You've been extremely patient. Let me get to your calls. Let's go to Henry. Henry in Columbia. Henry, how you doing?
I am doing quite well, and thank you for your information, and hope you guys had a Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you. You as well.
Yes, thank you. My comment tonight is that America is at a crossroads. The media, to me, is like the Trojan horse of old times. We're in a fight for our country right now, and many of Americans, especially the ones from 40 to 20, don't understand that. This is a very important time in our history. Our culture, our freedoms are under attack. They say a lot of times that Barack Obama was the best president. I don't agree with that. I think he's one of our worst presidents. And if you look at history, he's the first president that I know in my lifetime, and I'm 76 years old, that I've ever seen get out of office and is still hanging around Washington, still involved in politics against our presidents that they're now. That should tell you something. And also our media is out of control. And the people who control the media are pumping up socialism. And our young people are not paying any attention, at least most of them, because they're too busy with the electronic devices they have, the games, who's winning the Super Bowl. They're distracted. That's what I call it, distracted. And our front line has to be the American trucker, who's one of our largest workforces, who go all over this country and who see what's going on, and we have to stand up and speak up for our country.
Well said. Well said. I agree, Henry. You know, here's the thing. Bernie, Nordic countries are not socialist. Not really. So stop telling America's youth, America's millennials, oh, look, it works in Norway. No, it doesn't. It's certainly true that Sweden, Norway, Finland, Denmark, their economic successes, in part, what's false is that these countries are especially socialist. They're not. Socialism, for lack of a better way to describe this, socialism, under the Marxist theory, is the transitional stage between capitalism and communism. That's not because I say so. That's because it's a form. Socialism as a form of society in which government owns or controls major industry and doles it out as it sees fit. Under the Marxist theory, socialism, again, is the transitional stage between capitalism, which is what we have now, and communism, which is what a large part of America wants because they don't know what it is. You understand what I'm saying? Steve in San Diego. Steve, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well, Rick, and thank you for coming in on Christmas and keeping us informed.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
My concern is with the continuing resolution that came over from the Senate. And in that, I believe there was really close to $10 billion for disaster relief. And the wall is the only reason why it didn't get passed. I know of a little community in Northern California called Paradise that is no longer that. It's no longer there. Those people spent Christmas living in tents in Walmart.
Yeah, the wildfires.
They could have sorely, yeah, that's correct. And they could have sorely used that money coming from that disaster relief in that budget. And if I was President Trump, I would be reverse psychology, play on the heartstrings, and explain how heartless the Democrat Party is for not passing that and allowing those people to have a little better Christmas.
Well, I've got a little background with California wildfires. I was working at KFMB during the Witch Fire, the Cedar Fire. I've lost track of all the fires. But yes. No matter what. Is said. I mean, even your call, if it had been fielded by Pelosi or Schumer or anybody else, it would be, well, we agree with you, but Trump won't let us do it. And that is disingenuous at best, is it not?
That's all they are, is just disingenuous. It's a horrible situation that they're putting us in out here. But at any rate, on socialism, your last comment, socialism is all the wealth belongs to the government, and what they allow you to have on a paycheck is what they're kind enough to let you have. And believe me, they're not very kind.
That's exact. Well, then why? And I have to ask myself this. It can't be as simple as, you know, a short attention span. But why do younger people think socialism is the way to go?
Our education system and seasoning. We're creatures of habit. That's how we learn to brush our teeth, tie our shoes, learn to do mathematics. It's just repeat, 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 repeat. And if the schools repeat enough, it becomes the truth.
That's right. And knowing full well, just like the Democrat socialist in power, they know that a vast majority of people in the audience, whether it's a viewing audience or a listening audience or a reading audience, they know the vast majority of them will never fact check.
Of course not. Even though they have the greatest little tool in the world in their hand while they're sitting there arguing with about it. Well, that's not the greatest because you have to apply yourself to fact check a conservative viewpoint when you go to Google or anything like that, because it gets buried so deep.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
So, Rick, to all the people that gave up their Christmas to make sure everybody else was able to have Christmas, be safe out on the road. Thank you.
Merry Christmas, Steve. I appreciate that very, very much. You know, think about it this way. If you've got, you know, a son or a daughter, grandson, granddaughter, communism and socialism are basically interchangeable terms. It refers to, well, two extremely left-wing schools of thought on the economy. Both of them oppose capitalism, which is what we have now. As an ideology, communism is generally thought as being as far left as you can get, making fewer concessions to market capitalism, and certainly democracy, and most forms of socialism. They're just, it's like a rung, like a ladder, the lower rung, the higher rung. I never thought, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I've been doing this a long time. I never thought that we would come to a point in society when people polled, especially millennials, the vast majority prefer socialism. Have they ever lived under socialism? No. Have they ever been explained to any degree what socialism really is? No. All I hear is, well, it works in Denmark and Finland. No, it doesn't. And that's not pure socialism in the first place. All right, let's go to, where am I going here? Steve in Olympia, Washington. Steve, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Steve?
Doing fairly well. It's a little late for me, but some of the topics kind of prompted me to call. I was born in 52. I grew up in Southern California during the 60s. And for context, my oldest grandson is a Marine, and I come from a pretty patriotic family.
Good for you.
And it seems to me that Trump is picking a fight, and I think it's a fairly good one. But I think instead of the fight that he's picking, that maybe we should pick a little bit bigger one. And since we're pouring so much money southbound into Mexico and supporting so many millions of people from their coming to this country that apparently want to be Americans, why don't we just annex Mexico and make the southern border a whole lot easier to put a wall across?
Well, you know, I don't know if you know much about Mexico's southern border. You know, people go nuts here if you say, well, let's send the National Guard to the border. Oh, my God, they're war hawks, they're this or that. You go to the southern border of Mexico, and it looks like a military base all the way across it. It's, you know, they don't mess around with border security. That was very telling in the fact that 7,000 Central Americans just happened to find their way across the border. which, I mean, you and I both know that didn't happen by accident. Somebody organized that, and they paid Mexico dearly for it.
I understand that. And all of that aside, regardless, I think that Mexico would make several fairly good states, and we could actually solve quite a few problems just by doing what I was suggesting. I haven't heard anybody really comment on it much before.
Well, I don't think you'd ever be able to annex it. I mean, on what grounds, what basis?
I haven't studied that.
Beg your pardon?
I haven't studied that.
No, having worked out of Southern California for about 16, 17 years, there are plenty of people in Southern California working hand in glove with people in Mexico trying to take back what Mexico lost in the war. They still think most of California and Arizona, you've heard of Reconquista. Well, that's what that whole movement's about. And the fact is, the government in Mexico is doing just fine. There's a ton of natural resources in Mexico. A lot of people getting rich. The problem is they let their people live in abject poverty, and that's why they risk life and limb trying to get across the border to put a sandwich on the table at nighttime. I mean, I was happy to see that entire NAFTA deal come apart. That was the worst trade deal ever. If you're going to leave your people to live in giant refrigerator boxes built into the side of a hill, then maybe we ought to think twice about doing business with you. But we haven't had a politician sitting in the Oval Office that had the cojones to do that. Well, we do now. And I think we ought to take advantage of that. If you think about it, at least five countries around the world are communist. Obviously, Cuba, Laos, the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea, China, the Social Republic of Vietnam. But I've had people say, well, if socialism's so bad, why are they teaching that it's a good thing? And where did it come from? You want to know where it came from? Socialism? Have you heard of the Communist Manifesto? It was written by Karl Marx and Engels in the late 1800s, just before the revolutions in, 1840 or 50, swept across Europe, expressing what they termed scientific socialism. That's what it was called. In the last third of the 19th century, social democratic parties all of a sudden started springing up in Europe. And it came from Marxism. That's where it came from. Those guys sitting around drinking little teeny cups of coffees with their legs crossed. I don't know how those guys cross their legs like that, but they do. Drinking coffee, they're just, they got all the answers and we're all dummies. That's where it came from. You want to be a part of that? I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
And welcome all across America, Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for Gary McNamara and Eric Carley. Taking your calls, we're live tonight, 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. And this is Tony in New York City. Tony, I appreciate your patience. Hi, Tony.
How you doing? First time I'm calling you. I'm talking to you on speakerphone. How does it sound?
Yeah, you sound fine, Tony.
All right, because I used to hate speakerphone. I was an IT troubleshooter, and I traveled all over and resolved problems, and I used to yell at people, get off the speakerphone.
Yeah, normally but for the daytime show, we ask that they don't use speakerphones, but I got you fine. What's going on?
All right. What you said before, all those statistics that you read off before about the United States and how we are improving, it really made me feel good. I mean, I feel faith in my country. I feel faith in my government. I just can't understand in my mind how Democrats can be against this. I mean, this is not the original reason I called, but that was on while I was on hold. I heard that. And I was just amazed that you sounded good stating it, and me listening to it, I felt better. I felt like I was back in the 60s and 70s and not in a Democrat. It really feels like a communist where I am now.
Well, I think if I were to answer your question as succinctly as I could, Democrats are really less democratic than they are socialist. And if you look at how they finance $18.5 billion in health care for unauthorized immigrants, pretty much tells you everything you want to know. They're for themselves, not the country. I'm Rick Roberts, Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now live, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
And it's always a pleasure to be in when the guys are away. This is Rick Roberts. If you want to track me down during the week, you can find me doing afternoon drive from 2 to 5 Central Time. That's out of Dallas, Fort Worth, News Talk, 820 WBAP. You can also go to WBAP.com and hit the Listen Live button, just like you can do here at Red Eye Radio. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. A lot of you have been extremely, extremely patient, and I want to take care of that right now. Let's go to Tony in New York City. Tony, thank you for waiting. I appreciate it. How you doing, Tony?
Sir, very fine, thank you. Sir, respectfully, why do you guys question the intelligentsia of the people, the American people? Because I see everyone who calls you, that looks like they're comatose. How in the world is Donald Trump the savior of this earth, the way you guys sound?
Okay, stop. Who is you guys? Is that a colloquialism like, out of New York, or do you mean somebody in particular?
The Rush Limbaugh.
Okay, this is not the Rush Limbaugh show. Make your damn point.
But listen, as an ex-officer, by the
okay,
way.
Okay, I don't know. Look, let me answer this as quickly as I can and go on to a more relevant call. No one is the savior. I believe in God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. There's only one savior I'm aware of. But I'm sick and damn tired of politics where I've got politicians telling me what to do instead of me telling them what to do. In case you don't know, you don't sound like you're from this country, I'm not sure, but you might want to do some research into the founding fathers. It was not set up where we work for the government, where we take every beck and call of some elected official. No, as a matter of fact, it was the other way around. Yeah, I'm glad Trump's in office. I'm glad the poser-in-chief in Barack Obama's gone. I'm glad Clinton's gone. Quite honestly, I'm glad Bush is gone. I'm tired of politics as usual. I'm ready. I'm set for the government, for the people and by the people. And so far, Trump is the only guy that seems to have an ear to that message. Now, do you have a point other than to bitch and moan? I mean, if you got a point, I want to hear your point. Do you have a point?
Okay, what? Yes, but you're not giving me a chance because you're so busy preaching to.
Okay,
to
stop your bitching and make your point.
Listen, okay, good. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make you upset. I am an immigrant, I grew up here, and I used to be an officer in the U.S. Army.
Okay, slow down just a little bit. Tony, slow down so we can understand you.
Sir. Sir, I can say it in French, I can say it in Italian, I can say it in Spanish.
Okay, if you want to speak a language here in America, English would be fine. Just slow down so we can understand you.
Because I'm less small-minded, your listeners, than you are.
Okay.
You guys,
Tony, did you call up here to bitch and moan and complain and soil yourself, or did you call to make a point?
You know why? If I'm bitching because I took an oath when I was in the military not to see you guys capitulating to Russian, Trump sells America.
Okay, Tony, I'm gonna ask you one more time. I'm gonna ask you one more time to slow down, speak English, so we can understand what you're saying, and please, for the love of God and all that's holy, try to make a point so we can at least stay up with you. Can you do that? Is that possible?
So much against helping the fellow man. Listen, sir, what crisis and what sacrifices Donald Trump and his family made for America? Big fat zero, except capitalizing. It's like a man who comes to your house, don't bring anything, eats and complains that the food lacks salt. All right? I have friends who have died for this country. And I'm not going to tell you like I'm promoting myself. I used to be an officer in this military.
Okay, what's,
US Army.
Tony, what's the point?
By the way,
Tony.
The point is, you guys, okay, listen. You're saying that the liberal control every radio, right? And you guys have every station, every in America, you guys polluted.
Okay, Tony, this has been fun, but, you know, this is like 10 minutes I'm never going to get back in my life. Here's the thing. The media works hand in glove with the left. The hard left. And if you don't know that, there's nothing I can say that's going to make you see the reality of that statement. I'm sorry, Tony. I don't get your point. Trump hasn't sacrificed for the country. I tell you what, I wouldn't want his job. He gets up every morning like Benjamin Netanyahu, fighting in every direction. The never-Trumpers within his own party, the Democrats / socialist. The media, I mean, as far as liberal radio doesn't work. They tried it. It was called Air America. They took over a signal out of New York, your city, that used to play urban reggae. They couldn't even hit those same ratings. So, look, every single media outlet hates Trump, or that's the perception, because they want Democrats, socialists, liberals. They want them back in power because they want politics like it used to be. Most of us that support Trump don't want that. We want a government for the people and by the people. We don't want a government for the political elite ruling class and everybody else. Tony, again, I don't ever do this. I never do this. But, Alan, if Tony can collect his thoughts and string a few sentences together where I'll know what point he's trying to make, he can call back in again tonight. We normally don't do that. All right? I got to get to calls that actually can make some sense. But if Tony can settle down, back away from the Folgers, and see if he can make a statement, I will take his call again. Because that's what it's not Rick Roberts' opinion. It's in my show in BAP, it's the Court of Public Opinion. Here it's Red Eye Radio. Let's go to Rod in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Rod, thank you for thanks for waiting, Rod. How you doing?
Yeah, I'll try to collect my thoughts after that. Donald Trump does have some stellar accomplishments, and he only seems to be lacking really the one, the wall. It's going to be it's like pulling teeth, but you know, I had a thought in my military career. It seems that he is a commander-in-chief of the United States military. You can't use the military in American soil, but we have the finest Corps of Engineers since the Romans.
And I agree with that. I don't think you run into problems with using the military on American soil if you use the Corps of Engineers.
Correct. They maintain our dams and some of our roadways, bridges, which are also concrete slabs that are mostly preformed. We have a plant, matter of fact, right here in Arkansas, and you know, these are big slabs of concrete, 10 by 30 feet, and the Corps of Engineers are well versed in the use of this. And since it is a military affair, and he is a commander in chief of the United States military. And this Corps of Engineers are at his disposal for the next 18 to 24 months, part of them. It would not take even a 10% of our Corps. And their budget, he could actually possibly get a prefab wall. It wouldn't be a Mona Lisa or a skyscraper, but it'd be something you could slap Trump on.
All you're trying to do is slow down the tsunami wave of Central Americans so you can at least vet who comes into your country. It doesn't have to be bright and shiny like the Democrats. You know, they want every shiny thing to call their own. It's just some way to slow people down.
Correct. And this would be a barrier, like we put up in Iraq and other places, to like the Green Zone.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long to put up a military-style wall, and they have the wherewithal, know-how, and resources to do that. And in fact, we pay them anyway. So why not pay them for something constructive?
You know, not a bad idea. Are you from Fort Smith originally?
Yes, I am. I've been everywhere else but yeah.
Yeah, I used to be in Fort Smith a lot. I was raised by my grandparents until they got too old. So I went off to a Methodist boys' ranch at Lake Tenkeller there, went to school in Vianne, and made it to Fort Smith every time I could. That was the big city back then.
Yeah, it's still big. It's kind of dead. Liberals have taken it over, and they're building Ferris wheels and Marshall's museums, and we can't get a decent truck route.
Well, you know what? Don't need any 18-wheelers in Fort Smith. Just let all the liberals carry it themselves.
They got a historical district that the truck route should go right down the middle of, and used to. You go in one straight line from one end of town to the other. Now you have to go left, right, straight, left, right.
Yep.
I'm like, why the corners are not all left? Because they're liberals.
Well, Rod, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. It may work out yet. Man, what was it Carlin said? Most progressive liberals or something to that. The only thing they think is wrong with this country is we don't have enough bicycle paths. And I think he was on to something there. Rod, good call. I appreciate it. Sharon in Minnesota. Sharon, thank you for waiting. How you doing, Sharon?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm chuckling here at what you guys are saying. Yes, I just, I've learned a lot tonight. I totally believe and agree that the media is being controlled. And when the producer talked to me, he says, what's the point? You know, anyway. So I'll try to make it short. But there are people that are trying to take over America. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. And the media is being controlled. And we call it the New World Order. And I said what prompted me was this guy that said Santa Claus and socialism are the same, and they, and actually, I didn't know if I was going to get on the air, but I said it's really the papacy that's behind it because they controlled the old world. You know, we know that, and America was a whole new idea, and anyway, I won't go into all of it, but if you want to know more, you need to read the book The Great Controversy and National Sunday Law.
All right, I'll do that. I appreciate it, Sharon. Yeah, I'm not a big conspiracy nut or subscriber, I guess I should say. But it's not really a conspiracy if people are after you, right? I mean, if you're not really paranoid if somebody's chasing you. And there are plenty of people that would like to see America turn the corner towards socialism. You know, I mean, for Marxists, socialism, as Karl Marx termed it, the first phase of communist society. It can be viewed as the transition stage, socialism. It's characterized by common, or maybe state ownership by the means of production, democratic workers, so on and so forth. But the next time you hear a millennial say, oh, that socialism's great, we all get free health care, we get to go to school free, you ask them, you ever read about Karl Marx? You know what communism is? Oh, yeah, but that's not this. This is the transitional phase, moving to communism, socialism. You know, set them down. Take 15, 20 minutes. Set them down. They may learn something. All right. I'm Rick Roberts. This is Red Eye Radio.
USDA is looking into the issue of how to define a product that supporters call meat, even though it's been cultured in a laboratory.
I think that there's a lot to still be learned about these products because they are not yet in the marketplace, and USDA and FDA have been spending a considerable amount of time really evaluating what this product is and in what ways consumers might consume it.
USDA's Acting Deputy Undersecretary for Food Safety, Carmen Rottenberg, says meetings have been held with scientists and the public.
FDA held a science board meeting earlier this year in October, and then we held a joint public meeting with FDA on risks, hazards, and labeling, that all are considerations that the U.S. government has to make.
The public comment period closes December 26th.
I think there is a question about whether these products are safe and how the U.S. government will ensure the safety of the products, and those are still outstanding questions.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Across America, it's Red Eye Radio. Hope you're doing well tonight. We are live with you. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Want to get right to your calls. Let's go to Mary Lee in Springfield, Missouri. Mary Lee, thank you for waiting. I appreciate that very much.
Well, I just want to say it's been a long wait, but I wouldn't have missed a minute of it.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, not a minute. I love the show. I love your audience. I love the fact that we're talking to truck drivers all over the country. And I'm going to stick to what I called in about. There are a dozen Marvy subjects to discuss, but I'll stick with what I called in about. I'm so pleased to be on the show. I was 15, Pearl Harbor Day, so I'm a very old gal, and one thing about being old, you can stay up as late as you want, right? So anyway, number one, if the citizens, the passionate patriots, don't make moves, we're going to lose our Constitution, et cetera, et cetera. I come from a lot of very patriotic people. One thing we could try to do, I have no legal background or anything, but one thing, I'd love to see any money coming from any level of government to a school that does not teach accurate history, American history particularly, but more the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the reasoning that you behind the rule of law and enforcing your laws. You can't have even a family if you don't have rules. And that is one thing. And then the other, another thing is, let's see, I could see the media having a little, well, on TV it'd be a little box in the corner, but practically every program that I like to watch, I wish they would tell people how easy it is to call the switchboard in Washington, or here in Missouri it would be Jeff City, and you get the switchboard, and those nice people will direct you to, you know, your representative or your senator. It's easy to do, and the young folks who work for these people are good, and I'm really cross with Roy Blunt right now. He doesn't know it. I called the other morning about when I heard about the people coming over the border down there by San Diego, and I told his gal here in Springfield I wanted him to get back to me. Then I ranted up at Washington and didn't hear from him, so I'll have to get after him again. But we've got to make our move, or we won't have the country we want, most of us. And let's see, that was the media. I've had this sort of dream for several years, and I've not even brought it up locally yet. I guess I'm going to have to. I can see a group you might call citizens pro bono. It would be, say, all you individuals out there have a few passionate friends, and you could have just a small, loose group, not even publicized, more like maybe when the Christians went underground during War II in Russia, but to keep our society going, we've got to get a hold of the, say, the 20, 30, 40, maybe 50, and all of 60-year-olds who don't really...
I couldn't agree more with that. Absolutely. I got to step aside. Now your national forecast.
A strong storm that brought Christmas rains to Northern California and the Southwest and heavy snow to the California Sierra Mountains is now heading to the central Great Basin and into the Southwest, where as much as a foot of snow is possible in the highest elevations. Expect winter storm warnings and winter weather advisories in the region. As the system emerges into the plains, a significant winter storm is likely to develop across the central U.S. by Wednesday. Heavy and accumulating snowfall will begin Wednesday afternoon and evening across parts of the northern and central plains, spreading eastward into the upper Midwest and Great Lakes. Heavy rainfall and strong to potentially severe thunderstorms are also possible across the southern plains Wednesday into Thursday. The storm is likely to make post-Christmas travel very difficult, if not impossible, across portions of the middle part of the nation. In the west, temperatures drop to below average on Wednesday. There's your national forecast on Red Eye Radio. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Happy Holidays. Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Rick Roberts.
Always a pleasure to be in when the guys are away, sitting in for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. I'm Rick Roberts with you live, so we're taking your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. I want to try to get to as many of you as I possibly can. Let's go to Greg in Ventura, California. Greg, thank you for waiting. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I agree with everything you said about this socialism and this liberalism taking over the country. I'm surrounded by them here. They're totally surrounded in the block that I live in. The little cul-de-sac street. Every day it's an argument. I have Trump stickers on my truck. And I'm moving out of this town because it's so boring here. I mean, it's just absolutely nothing in this town. It's a flat tire. There's nothing to do. There's nothing going on. The beach, the seagulls don't even stop at this beach here. It's just horrible. And I'm a single guy, and I'll be 70 in March. And I've lived here 30 years, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. I've got another house in Denver.
Greg, you're calling me from Ventura. I did my time in Southern California at KFMB for about 17 years. You got a house in Denver. What are you doing in California?
I'm leaving, Rick, and the 1st of March, and I'm going to rent this California house out, and I'm moving back to Denver where I'm from. So
Where's your house in Denver? Where is it?
It's in Longmont, Colorado.
Oh, I know where.
It's 10 miles from Boulder.
Yeah, I did about, the People's Republic of Boulder. You don't want to go to Boulder. Yeah. That's as bad as California. I lived for 12 years in Evergreen, so I know right where you are.
Oh, yeah. We used to go up there on Sundays and party at the Little Bear.
Little Bear. You used to be able to, now we're showing our age here, but I lived on Bear Mountain, which looked over Main Street. And the Little Bear that he's talking about, it's a restaurant in the front and a bar in the back. And you could walk, I don't know how many times I'd walked in there, and Willie Nelson and Hunter Thompson would be sitting in the very back, just as high as a kite. It was an experience.
Yeah, I love it up there. There's things to do, and they don't have a photo light wanting to give you a ticket on every corner. And it's crazy here, and the California, is $1 trillion in debt, $1 trillion.
Yeah. So they borrow money every day from the federal government to pay welfare.
Yeah, it's unbelievable here. I don't know how long this state will last. My friend in Denver says Illinois will go down first, and then it'll be California. So I want to be out of here by the time that happens, if I can.
You know? Greg, get out of town. Don't waste time talking to me. Mark. Pack it up.
I agree. Thanks, Rick.
Hey, Merry Christmas. I appreciate the call very much. Let's go to Horace in Virginia. Horace, thank you for your patience. How you doing?
Hi, Rick. I'm fine. Listen, first of all, I wasn't afraid or scared when last week when they said the president was trying to decide whether he would accept the foolishness that the lunatic left was trying to put on him. I know he had the veto power, and he knocked them out with the veto power. And this is one of the reasons why I'm not afraid of them taking over the House comes January the 4th, because the president has that defensive mechanism to protect the American people. So they can huff and puff and carry on, but they are not going to be successful with the president having that power to block them and shut them down. Two quick things I want to say also is that they need to get rid of these activist judges. They are part of the problem. And the next thing is they need to do something about the Politburo down in the ninth, which is called the Ninth Circuit.
Now we call that the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals.
Yes.
It's the most overridden court in the United States.
Yes, they act like the old Barnum and Bailey circus. They need to get rid of them.
Well, it's too big. It needs to be split up.
Yeah, and run out some of those activists there, because if they don't do something about that circuit, it will be adios, America.
Well, you brought up, thank you. You brought up some very, very good points, Horace. Let me, if I may, for a second, what he's talking about is, you know, he's not as concerned about the Democrats taking over the House on January 3rd as some. To control the House of Representatives, Democrats, of course, had to win at least 218 seats and all that. But here's what he's talking about. If they were to pass a measure that Republicans in both houses didn't like, and President Trump didn't like, he could use his veto power to override whatever it was. Now, to override Trump's veto, Democrats then would have to meet the U.S. Constitution. I know, the pesky Constitution. They would have to use what is set out in the U.S. Constitution. It's a requirement. It's not a suggestion, not an afterthought. I know Barack Obama used to treat the Constitution as an afterthought, but they have to muster a two-thirds vote in the House. That's, 290 votes, and a two-thirds vote in the Senate. That's 67 votes. Neither of those would be very likely. So, you know, it's quite a challenge to override a presidential veto. You know, I have read, it was way before my time, but I've read Franklin Roosevelt. He was the veto king. I think he had 600 and some vetoes. Only 9 of them were overridden. Grover Cleveland vetoed about 580-90 times, I think. He was only overridden 7 times. If the House Democrats were to do all that they promised to do, and if Trump were to marshal the guts of President Roosevelt and Cleveland, both Democrats, I might add, the next 2 years... That would be a carnival ride, wouldn't it? But hang on for a second, because Democrats are pushing for the elimination. We talked about this earlier in the show. Democrats want to get rid of the Electoral College, right? They just want a straight-up popular vote, having presidents chosen by the majority rule. You know, they might call for the same thing for political decisions. That way, it would require only a simple majority vote rather than two-thirds. But that's not going to happen. I don't think. The founding fathers had absolutely utter contempt for majority rule. They saw it as a form of tyranny. In addition to requiring a supermajority to override a presidential veto, what does our Constitution say? It's got other anti-majority provisions. So, you know, I know the Democrats are taking over the House, and Nancy Pelosi's huffing and puffing, as my caller said, and so is Chuckie Schumer and, you know, Elizabeth Warren and her entire tribe and everybody else. But, you know, he's got the power. He can wield some pretty powerful veto if he wants to. Good call. I appreciate it very, very much. Horace, let's go to Yvonne in San Jose, California. Yvonne, thank you for waiting. How you doing?
Okay. Hey, real quick, the people that all talked about that they wanted the border and some sort of wall, did it to get the votes, then they actually voted for it because they knew that Obama was going to veto it. He already had said that. So that's why they voted for it. So it looked like, hey, we tried, but hey, the president vetoed it. Also, Trump gave up his sacrifice, as that other fellow said he did not do. He gave up $1 billion. He lost $1 billion of his own personal wealth, and he wasn't doing the job so he could get ahead and hopefully make at least $20 million like Obama and everybody else, because he already had the money. He just did it because he saw that the country was not working right. And if you want to say he did it for his own greed, he does have a business. And if more people have money, he would in the end sell more. More of us regular people could stay at the Trump hotels because we have money. So, yes, he might have had something in it to make it so he would get something, but in the end, all he's been is insulted left and right and put totally down. And I was listening to a host who was talking about divine providence, and before I hang up, since I live in California, unfortunately, could you tell us people where we could hear you in California? What station would you be on? I'm in San Jose.
What you do, you can go to WBAP.com. WB as in boy, AP as in Paul, WBAP.com. I'm there every day, Monday through Friday, from 2 in the afternoon to 5 in the afternoon. That's our afternoon drive. But you can listen on iHeart, too. You can listen on that app. Or you can simply go to the website, WBAP.com. Love to have you. If you can tune in, give me a call. It's always a good time. And anytime Gary and Eric are away, I try to get over here. If I'm available, I'm going to be here. So I try to make it. So be sure and tune in to the guys midnight to 5, of course. And then if you want to join me, please do. WBAP.com. Love to have you. Truly would. All right. I want to make sure you've waited all this time, your tenacity to get in, then your patience to wait. So I want to make sure everybody that has waited, I want to make sure you get your time on the air. So stick with me for just a second, if you will, because I'm Rick Roberts, and you know what this is. This is Red Eye Radio.
This engine report is brought to you by Detroit. The DD15 is designed to provide its peak power and torque between 1,000 and 1,500 RPMs. This fuel economy sweet spot means there isn't much more power available at 1,800 RPM than at 1,400. The only thing being accomplished is burning more fuel without any real benefit. While cruising, try to keep the engine between 1,050 and 1,450 RPMs for maximum efficiency. Also, upshift around 1,650 RPMs or sooner to stay in the sweet spot. Speed is the enemy of fuel economy. On average, every 1 mile per hour increase in road speed above 55 costs 0.1 mpg, which adds up by the mile. Cruising in the high 50 to low 60 mph range can help you get the most out of every gallon of fuel. Ultimately, traffic on surface roads and stoplights will impact travel time far more than a few mph on the highway.
For Shell Rotella, that's the engine report.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
All across America, it's Red Eye Radio. Rick Roberts in for Gary and Eric. I'll be with you all this week from midnight to 5, so please, if you get a chance, join us, if you will. You know, I wish I had more time, but somebody took exception with what I said about the Founding Fathers. They did have utter contempt for majority rule. They saw it as a form of tyranny. We got all kinds of things built in to our government to make sure that doesn't happen. A supermajority needed to override a presidential veto. The Constitution has other anti-majority provisions. I could go into all that, but on top of all that, it requires three-fourths of state legislatures for ratification of a constitutional amendment. Election of the president, I know Hillary doesn't want to hear this, I get it, but it's done not by a majority popular vote, much to the disappointment of the left, but it's done by the Electoral College, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. You know, the founders recognized we need government, but they also recognized that the essence of government is force, and that force against us is evil. So they did everything they could to reduce the potential for evil, and they thought government should be as small as possible. A far cry from what we're dealing with today. But we're going to get into some of that tomorrow as well. Hey, listen. If you missed any of this morning's show, the podcast of the full five-hour show, that's going to go online soon, very, very soon, at redeyeradioshow.com. That's redeyeradioshow.com. Or you can install the Red Eye Radio app from your app store, and then you got us anytime you want. That's not a bad deal, is it? Listen, just remember this. James Madison wrote, democracies have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have generally been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths. Maybe a little heady for this late, but man, it makes sense. That's going to do it for me. See you back here next time on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.